Hare Krishna. Thank you for being with us this evening. It is a very special festival that we hold every year, Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, in honor of the form of the Lord, or the deities that have presided over this location for approximately 100 years. The Lord often appears within this world to show compassion to suffering people at times of great difficulty. Just like when Ravana was causing havoc, Lord Ram came to save the inhabitants of the earth from his regime. When Hiranyakashipu was causing such problems to the whole world, the whole universe, as well as little Prahlad, Narasimhadev appeared. When the earth was submerged in a very, very difficult situation, Varaha appeared. When Kamsa, Jarasandha, and other such asuras were literally exploiting the world, Krishna appeared. And when the age of Kali, the darkness of ignorance, causing irreligion to be considered religion and religion to be considered irreligion, where people had so little capacity and qualification for true spirituality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So to seeing the desperate condition of the world, Advaita Charya and other devotees were praying for the advent of the Lord. And he came and inaugurated the Yuga Dharma of Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names. So over a century back, there was drought, I believe earthquake, that killed many, many people and left many children with no mother, no father, no brothers, no sisters, everyone in their family dead. So one pious British lady, Lady Northcote, she along with some very charitable Hindu organizations, they started the Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage on this property and built this building. This building is over 100 years old. And in order to train the children to love God and to serve God and to know that even though they may not have a material mother and father, Krishna tells in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, that I am the eternal father and mother for all living beings. He is the father and mother for the soul and for everyone's bodies as well. Mother Nature is nourishing everyone, and God in his male and female aspects is the source of everything that exists. Janmadya Shayataha. So we are never without our eternal mother and father. And in order to give the children this understanding that they can be happy and stable and secure, because no earthquake, no drought, not even time itself can take away Krishna, and Radha is our mother and father. So they installed these very beautiful deities in this little temple of Sri Lakshmi and Narayan. And from that time, many, many of the neighbors would come. Babulnath is one block down where Lord Shiva is residing, and Lakshmi Narayan were residing here. So not only the orphan children, and there were several, I believe there were several hundred orphan children at the beginning. But many neighbors were coming. In fact, Mahatma Gandhi, whose house is just close by in Bombay, he would also come here and worship these deities of Lakshmi and Narayan and pray for direction and strength and love, compassion. In fact, the old neighbors and their grandfathers, they explain how when the British were hunting for Gandhi, trying to arrest him, he went into the temple of Lakshmi Narayan, and the pujari closed the door and locked him in. When the British soldiers came searching for him, they said, "You can search the whole building, but Lakshmi Narayan are taking rest. I cannot open the door." So they searched. Where we're sitting, they were searching. And finally they left, and he escaped. Lakshmi Narayan saved him. So very historical deities. And in the mid-80s, Maithili Priya Devi and Srinathji Prabhu, at that time the orphan, which was very reduced in size, was only occupying a very small portion of this place, and they rented the rest out to tenants in high schools and tutorial schools and stocking manufacturers and Ayurvedic pharmacies. There was thousands of students here, Tinkerbell High School, Bola's classes, my own coaching classes, Camel brand hosiery. And but they would come and they would offer some milk, which was very rare for these children to get fresh milk. And they would also teach them kirtans and other things. And when the managing trustee passed away, the secretary came to Srinathji Prabhu's house telling him, "According to the will, you are now the managing trustee. So we volunteered to take care of the children," because there was really no, they weren't being taken care of properly. And few of our devotees moved in to a little room downstairs, and that's how we came here. And for quite a few years, they were doing very nicely, learning how some of our children who came from totally destitute conditions, either their parents were dead or single mothers that were in abject poverty, who couldn't do anything for their children. And some of these children now have college degrees, are college professors, master's degrees. Some of them are working in businesses. Many are taking serious responsibility at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. They're learning the trades, and they have lifetime skills. And they all, almost all of them, have very much deeply imbibed that spiritual devotional essence within their hearts. They have something very deep and meaningful to live for. And through their work, they learn the art of enlightenment through love for God and compassion for others. And seeing that they were very cloistered in this big city, trying to play cricket in our front courtyard, along with all sorts of neighbors constantly going back and forth. So we got a farm community, and they were absolutely blissful to move there, where they have sunshine, fresh air, forests and ponds and rivers, and being educated. So the orphanage is there, but Lakshmi Narayan is still here for us and for the whole world. So these Lakshmi Narayan deities are very, very special in many ways. They are the ancient presiding deities of this area. It was in about 1988 that Radha Gopinath came to preside in Mumbai to attract our hearts to their loving service. Now, Ramanujacharya, he was one of the great saints who taught the art of worshipping Lakshmi Narayan with a pure heart. And his saintly qualities are so much worshipped and honored by all of us that we decided to have this annual day for Lakshmi Narayan on the appearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. I'll only speak a few minutes this evening, and Chandramali Swami Maharaj will also speak. But I'll tell one story about Sripad Ramanujacharya, of the quality of devotion that he encouraged and inspired from his devotees. And through his devotees, he was teaching the whole world what are the values that are sacred in human life that really connect us to God. There was a relative of Ramanujacharya, like a cousin, named Dasarathi, who was one of the most learned scholars of the scripture in all the land. He had such a brilliant intelligence, a mastery over the conclusions of the scriptures. And he was a disciple of Sri Ramanujacharya. He was very, very well known for his ability to present spellbinding classes to defeat opposition in all sorts of debate. He was also from a very, very high caste of Brahmin family. Highly recognized person. Dasarathi asked his Gurudev, Ramanujacharya, please explain to me the true purport of the essence of Bhagavad Gita in the form of the verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishami Ma Suchaha. The translation is abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, the very essence of the Gita. Dasarathi wanted to know the confidential meaning of this verse. Ramanujacharya said, this is a very high topic. I think it would be more appropriate for Gostipurna to explain it to you. He is a very highly realized soul. He knows the scriptures thoroughly with realization. Go to him, and he will explain this verse to you. So Dasarathi walked all the way to the town where Gostipurna was residing. He asked him, can you explain this verse to me? He says, you come, you stay here, and you sit in my classes. He sat at the feet of his guru, or Gostipurna, and he was rendering service and sitting and listening and listening. 6 months passed. And Gostipurna never said anything about this verse from Bhagavad Gita. 6 months. So finally, after that time passed, Gostipurna said, actually, you should know what it means to understand the scripture. I know who you are. You are a brilliant intellect. You are a very famous, sought-after scholar. But beware. Because high birth, wealth, beauty, scholarship can very easily bring pride, arrogance. That arrogance will spoil everything. A person who is actually virtuous, the more they become learned, the more they become humble, respectful to others, and develop divine qualities that will please the Lord. But for small people, too much education and these other things simply make them arrogant, which is nothing but a blemish on your character in the eyes of God. So now that I have told you this warning, now go back to your guru, Ramanujacharya, and ask him to explain the meaning of this verse. So he went back to Ramanujacharya. And he said, this is what Gostipurna Maharaj told me. So please, if you see I'm fit, explain to me what is the meaning of the essence of the Gita. At that time, Ramanujacharya, the person who gave him his initiation, Mahapurna, his guru, Mahapurna's daughter, Atulai, she happened to come before Ramanujacharya, and she was in a really desperate condition. Ramanujacharya said, please tell me, what is the problem? She said, I got married to this family, and they just make me do such hard work. I just can't do it. Every day, several times a day, I have to walk 2 kilometers to a well, which is the only source of water for the house. And I have to carry back and forth big clay jugs of water on my head or on my shoulder. And it's exhausting me. My health is getting depleted. I just don't have the stamina to do this type of work. And when I'm not carrying water, I have to cook and cook and cook. and I'm in so much exhaustion. There's no help. And when I tell my mother-in-law about how much I'm suffering, she screams at me. She said, what useless person are you? You're supposed to be a daughter-in-law. You married into this family? Will you expect, why didn't you send a cook with you? Why didn't you send a water carrier with you? Do you expect us to supply these things? Don't be such a spoiled brat. Do your work and keep your mouth shut. This is the history of mother-in-laws. At least that's what I've heard. So Atulai was telling Ramanujacharya, I can't cope with it anymore. So I was having breakdowns. So I returned to my father's house and told him everything that was happening. And he said, go to Ramanujacharya and explain everything to him and see what his advice may be. Sri Radha Gopinath. So she left it all to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, Dasarati had just come and said, Gostipurna sent him to back. And this girl came right at that moment. So Ramanujacharya pointed to Dasarati. He said, it's not a problem. Dasarati will go home with you, and he will do all the cooking, and he will carry all the water. So he said, Dasarati, go with Atulai now. And do all the menial services and anything else the mother-in-law expects of you, you must obey her. So here is one of the world's most renowned scholars, one of the most highly placed Brahmins, and he follows her home, and for the next 6 months, he's going back and forth to this well, carrying large quantities of water back for the mother-in-law. And he's doing all the cooking for the family and all the cleaning and all the menial services. And without any complaint, because it was his guru's order. For him, it was as good as studying the scripture. For him, it was as sacred activity as performing yajnas. For Dasarati, this was as much an exalted opportunity to serve the Lord as giving lectures to 10,000 people. Krishna says in Bhagavatam says, Atapum birdvijastreshtas varanashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadhir haritoshanam. That our success is to the extent we please God, Krishna, by the sincerity of our actions, by the purity of our intentions. Whether we're doing something that appears very exalted or doing something very simple, from a spiritual level, our success is that Krishna is pleased. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayachchati. And Krishna's pleased in whatever we do, if it is done with honest and sincere and humble devotion. So Dasarati, from the core of his heart, he was so grateful. Can you imagine a person so highly placed as a scholar, as a pandit, as a yajnik Brahman, is carrying water and on his hands and knees cooking for 6 months continuously. And Lord knows how much the mother-in-law chastised him. But he was grateful. He was happy. because he was doing the will of his guru. And one day when Dasarati, and he was, nobody knew who he was. Even the mother-in-law, nobody knew he was actually the great famous Dasarati. They just thought he was some menial worker. The whole town. He concealed his identity. Otherwise, they wouldn't let him do these things. So one day, when like every other day, he was just carrying a big load of water on his back for 2 kilometers from the well, he happened to hear one man speaking from the scripture. And he was misrepresenting the truth of the scripture. So Dasarati, he saw there was a large crowd of people listening and they were being misled. So when it came time for questions, Dasarati had the water on his back. And he said, actually, what you're saying, that's not right. And this preacher, this lecturer, was outraged. Who are you to question my teachings? I am Brahman. I am Pandit. I am a lecturer with disciples. And you? A menial cook? A lowly water boy? Carrying pots of water on your head? You have the audacity to challenge my teachings? Huh. What is your explanation? Dasarati, very humble, very respectful, he said, since you asked, I will tell you my explanations. And he explained. All those people were absolutely enthralled by his speech. In fact, even the teacher, he fell at Dasarati's feet and said, I've never heard anything explained like you. How is it possible that a menial cook and water boy can speak this message like you? And everybody around was ready to be his disciple. And they said, who are you? He said, my name is Dasarati. You? You're the famous Dasarati. What are you doing carrying water? And what are you doing cooking for this mother-in-law? And this family. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be lecturing to thousands of people. You should be guiding the public. Dasarati said, no, this is exactly what I should be doing. Because my Gurudev, Ramanujacharya, he has given me this service. And I'm grateful, I'm honored to perform it. And they all said, well, we're going to tell Ramanujacharya that you shouldn't be doing this. you should go back to Sri Rangam and be teaching people. So some of the people from the town, Dasarati said, I can't go, this is my service. I have to cook the next meal. How can I go to Sri Rangam? So some of the townspeople went all the way to Sri Rangam and told Sri Ramanujacharya, and he was so happy. He was in ecstasy to hear about the genuine humility of his disciple, the genuine service attitude of his disciple, how he was so grateful for any opportunity to serve. So they begged Ramanuja that please give us your order and we will go and bring Dasarati back to you in Sri Rangam. And Sri Ramanujacharya said, I will personally go there with you because I want the association of my dear disciple. He's pleased me so much. And here is the acharya of
of the major part of all of India. He has tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of disciples, dozens of sannyasis. He's writing books that even today, almost 1,000 years later, are still considered some of the greatest commentaries of the scriptures ever written and studied by millions of people today. He walked barefoot all the way back with these other towns, common townspeople. And Dasarathi, when he saw Ramanuja, his guru, he fell at his feet, and Ramanuja picked him up and embraced him. He said, "Come back with me. I'm so pleased with you. You have shown that you are actually fit to understand the essence of the Bhagavad Gita." And then Ramanujacharya explained to him the confidential meaning of Sarva Dharman Purityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Pavebhyo Moksha Ishap Chimashuja. The lesson that Sri Ramanujacharya taught is you cannot understand the spirit or the essence of real knowledge, spiritual knowledge, simply by academic research or study. Keshava Kashmiri, he was one of the greatest Sanskrit scholars that ever lived. But he was proud. When he came before little Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya in Navadweep, Nimai crushed his pride. But he did it in such a respectful and such a gracious manner that although he crushed Keshav Kashmiri's pride, Keshav Kashmiri was not crushed. Only his pride was crushed. Because it was done with such respect and with such confidentiality also. And then when Lord Chaitanya explained the meaning of the scriptures that he knew so well, he could understand it because he had a humble heart. And there's that other story of Ramanuja's successor, Parasara Bhatter. During Ramanuja's time, Parasara was just a little boy. He was only 5 years old. And a great conquering scholar came to Sri Rangam. Now please understand, in those days, this is in the 12th century, in India, nobody cared about cricket or football or ping pong. The real sport was debate. If you were a good debater, they didn't have hoardings in those days, but you would be on every advertisement in all of the land. That was the sport. That was the prestige. And this man was the champion debater in the whole country. And he was coming in beautiful palanquin, being carried. And there were Brahmins chanting mantras and singing his glories and musical instruments and elephants and chariots. Wherever he went, he had this procession. And people honored him and respected him. But he was arrogant. And wherever he went, he would challenge. "There is no question I cannot answer. If anyone dares to ask me a question, come forward." And you have to a question. If he answers it, he defeats you, and you have to sign a certificate. So no, hardly anyone ever dared to ask him a question because they knew he was just so brilliant. But little Parasarabhatir, he came up to him and he said, I have a question for you. There's this very elderly, stately scholar, and there's 5-year-old boys coming to challenge him. He looked at this child with disdain. Don't waste my time. You're just a child. What do you know? Do you know who I am? And the child said, I have a question. I want you to answer my question. Just because you're big and I'm small, what does that mean? I have a question for you. Answer my question. So the man, in defiance, he said, what is your question? And the little boy picked up a handful of sand and held it right in front of the pundit's face and said, tell me immediately how many grains of sand are in my hand. He never got a question like that before. The scholar was completely bewildered. He didn't know what to say. He just was speechless. First time in his life, he was speechless. And then Parasara, the 5-year-old boy, he said, all of your scholarship, all of your great learning, it's all without humility and devotion, it is as worthless as this handful of sand. And then he threw the sand in the ground. And the scholar came off of his palanquin and fell at the feet of the 5-year-old boy and with folded hands said, you are my teacher, I am your student. I accept defeat from you. This was a 5-year-old disciple of Ramanujacharya. So this is how he inculcated this spirit. Srila Prabhupada, our Gurudev, he was asked by a PhD candidate, please tell me, what is your philosophy? And Srila Prabhupada's reply, he replied in different ways at different times. He said, philosophy without good character is practically meaningless and useless. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking about Keshav Kashmiri, he said, a tree that has good fruits, due to the weight of those fruits, is always bowing down. But a tree with no fruits is very upright. Similarly, a person with good qualities is amani namanadena, is very eager to be respectful to others, has a humble heart. And people without good qualities, they think they have good qualities, and they become very proud. And that arrogance causes them to not be able to appreciate others. Trinarapi sunichena, taror ibasi hishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That one should strive to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to others and expect none in return. And in that state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Amen.
Ramanujacharya, Gostipurna, they could have explained the logic of this verse the first day to Dasarathi. But you see, even if you have a nutritious meal, if you do not have the power to digest it, you won't access the nutrients. And knowledge, spiritual knowledge, to actually gain realization and experience of that knowledge, the spirit of service to others, the spirit of gratitude, and the spirit of humility are required for realization. So when Dasarathi understood this through Ramanujacharya and Gostipurna's techniques, he was ready. And then we could actually give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through our service. And we could, when we chant the holy names, when we see the beautiful form of the deity, when we render service, when we hear the holy scriptures, our hearts will be transformed. Transformed by the divinity of God's love. It's a simple message on the day of Lakshmi Narayan's appearance. Thank you very much. And now we will hear some words from His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj.
After listening to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj speak with such realization on such deep philosophical principles that are the essence of the practice of devotion to the Lord, I'm speechless. All I can say is that to hear about the essence helps us to understand what we should be doing. Knowledge is a direction to understand the path of devotion. And knowledge characterizes the path of devotion, but without the principles that govern the qualities of a Vaishnava, as Maharaj used such a wonderful example, which is practically so clear that one cannot eat or digest foods if, even though the food is nutritious, if the digestion is not there, then the value is lost. So in the practice of bhakti, Lord Chaitanya wanted to emphasize the quality that is required in order to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that quality also in order to live within the society of not only devotees, but in the world in general. And one should see themselves as insignificant. But at the same time, this insignificant understanding of one's position, which is actually the reality of one's position, to become insignificant or to see oneself as insignificant is reality. Because that is the position of the jiva. And knowledge has a tendency, when it's not coupled with the qualities of devotion, to bring about a sense of assurity or a sense of false pride that makes one see that whatever one does, then that is the right thing. But the Lord is not moved simply by externals. Externals may also be applied in the process of devotional service in order to preach, but without those qualities, it doesn't enter into the heart of others. So Lord Chaitanya taught that verse, and Trinadapi Sunichena Tayor Iva Suhishnuna Amani Nam Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahahi Hari, that one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly, which is actually the essence of the practice of devotion to the Lord. Because without remembering the Lord, and without focusing our consciousness on the Lord in devotional service, one's consciousness is wrong. It's as simple as that. That Krishna consciousness is real consciousness, and any other consciousness is something that is a reflection of the reality, but not actually has any substance to it. So in understanding the practice, one has to understand what are the qualities that are necessary for the practice. So when emphasizing this verse, he was emphasizing the essence of the practice. And as we understand that this is explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his explanation on the prayers of Shikshastakam in a somewhat systematic, sequential way, that one cannot come to the platform of steady devotional service unless one practices these qualities. Actually, this practice of these qualities, humility, tolerance, respect for others, and not asking respect for oneself. Sometimes we compare the two, respect for others and not expecting respect for oneself. And in my own comparison, and maybe it is correct as a general principle, but maybe it's simply my realization, it's not so hard, or not as hard or difficult, to give respect to others as it is to not expect respect for oneself. It seems that almost to expect respect for oneself is part of a social interaction that makes the social interaction successful. Because without that reciprocation, sometimes there is not the proper interaction. But actually, it's contrary to what is called real spiritual principles. Because respect for oneself, it means that there's some reason why I should be respected. Either by having good knowledge, good birth, or having success in so many activities. But then we understand from principles that are taught in scripture that these things that we want to be respected for are actually coming by the grace of the Lord. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that, you know, that I am the ability in all living entities. And the story of Keshava Kashmiri actually showed that when the Lord wanted to remove, you know, his ability. It wasn't hard for him to do that because he was giving that ability already through the goddess Saraswati. And then simply by his desire, he showed, he just removed that ability and made him look like somebody, someone who actually was quite unlearned in what he was doing, although he had had such success in the past. So these qualities are foundational for the practice of devotional service. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami recites this verse in relationship to a statement made by Srila Jiva Goswami that if one wants to chant the holy names of the Lord, one has to take this verse and wear it as one's, what we say, what's the word, ornament. When we see a person may be dressed up, they may be dressed very nicely, or they might have a particular part of their nice dress that is outstanding, such as a flower or something that is outstanding within the dress, which is ornamental. That's noticed maybe easier than the rest. So using that principle, this verse is the king of all verses, actually. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was asked at times, what is my swarup? Or can you teach us about swarup? He would say, Trinadapi Sunichena. He would recite the verse. He said, this is your swarup. This is actually the essence of the living entity's relationship with the Lord and with other living beings. And so it's a matter of practice. And one cannot, what we say, progress towards the goal of life, which is love of God, unless one practices that constantly. It's a constant practice. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the platform of ruchi, or the constant sweet taste that comes through the practice of devotional service, is preceded by steadiness in devotional service, which is characterized by these qualities. So in order to remain steady in one's devotional practice, one has to constantly cultivate these qualities of devotion in relationship to one's spiritual practice. But it's very difficult because one will be challenged by one's own mind, one's own conditioning, by the external environment, by others. So this is the, what we say, the determination of the living entity to succeed is to cultivate the qualities in relationship to the practice. And that story that Maharaj just told was just tantamount to what is the ideal within that. Here is a person who has, he could have been worshipped and honored by others, but he wanted to know what is the essence. And therefore, wanting to know the essence means wanting to do whatever it takes to realize that knowledge. And he was willing to take such a humble and menial position doing, I mean, when you think about it, at least I was thinking, trying to understand what it would be like to be sent to a family and just carry water and just do cooking and be subjected to maybe some, you know, some criticism or some disciplinary activity. And having had such success in bringing about knowledge to others, what it would take for a person to do that. So, and you know, I think this is the most amazing thing that out of the realization that I got, this is the quality of the devotees of Ramanujacharya. When we hear the stories in relationship to this great Acharya, we find that his devotees and those who came in contact with him exhibited such amazing, amazing, unbelievable qualities. Such as Koresh, we hear how his greatest, as Maharaj was explaining this morning in Bhagavatam class, he was so grateful to be able to sacrifice his vision for his spiritual master, considering it a blessing, not considering it an inconvenience or an austere, but grateful for the opportunity to have such service. What qualities? And there are so many in relationship to Ramanujacharya, many of his followers and others who were related to him, his spiritual masters, all exhibited such amazing qualities. So this is to show that this personality, Sri Ramanujacharya, is such an amazing person, and how he changed the hearts of so many by his humility, by his devotion, and by his great, great learning of the scriptures, and his application of that learning in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Acharya is his ornament, because one who teaches by example and also can teach others by his teachings to be the example of what he's trying to teach. So we are very fortunate to be able to hear such pastimes of such a greater personality. So we honor this great personality, Sri Ramanujacharya, who appeared in the world to teach eternal religious principles in the most difficult age of Kali Yuga. And by such exemplary devotion and knowledge, he showed what is the true path of bhakti. And although he is coming from Sri Sampradaya, we are Gaudiya Sampradaya, still Lord Chaitanya is so much honored and so much respected and so much took from the teachings of Sri Ramanujacharya and brought his teachings to the world. So I think this year we are fortunate. At the end of this year we'll be devotees of Radha Gopinath, headed by Radhanath Maharaj, will be going to South India for Yatra again to visit some of the holy places in relationship to Sri Ramanujacharya. And I can honestly say I went to the Yatra in 2005, I think it was, 2005, 2006. It was one of my most memorable Yatras that I have ever been on. And even after I went on the Yatra, I got the CDs and I listened to all the CDs again. And I just relived the Yatra again, just hearing again this talks and the mood that was so nicely displayed on that Yatra in 2005. So we are fortunate to be able to have His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj leading us to the lotus feet of such great acharyas. Sri Ramanujacharya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.